So, oh, yeah. I read it in Hesitations chapter 3. Thou shalt make them weep if they play with their phone in church. All right. So if you drop it this week, I just wanted you to know how it happened. All right. Anyway, familiar story, woman at the well. I love it. I want to use it for part of what the day is all about. And I'm going to start at chapter 4 of John, fourth verse down. Now he, Jesus, had to go through Samaria so that he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, and near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." I skipped a page. Did it wrong again. The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more than the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he has harvests the crop for our eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed two more days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Long text, beautiful one. One of the most detailed stories about a woman's conversion, a person's conversion in the whole Bible. So, and now, if you would, I am going to let the graduates talk, and then I'll bring the kids down. And graduates, as you talk, kind of, you can sit 6 feet apart, but stay up front because the old man's using you for children's sermon. So I think Lucas is coming back from Minnesota, right? And Ella is here. So you're first, sweetie. You can do it. No, don't talk long enough. This is not a talk a long time. It's giving... let's see how you do, hon. Is that on? Is this mic ready to go? Oh. The battery is nice and red. Apologize. Yeah, it's no good. Someone bringing me a battery? Oh, there she is. Here, put it on your tongue. Should I give her mine? Yeah. This doesn't get you extra nervous. Look at all these people looking at you. And trust me, if you make a mistake, they will all tell you. Wait, you do that to me? Trust me, she can handle it. Yes, you can. You're good. Well, I've always been impressed. So. Are we on now? Sounds good. You're on, sweets. Let me get my junk out of your way.
Okay. This is my short testimony about an experience I had this school year. So about halfway through my second semester, my online teacher emailed me and asked me if I wanted to be a school buddy to one of the new students who transferred from a brick-and-mortar school to an online school. Of course, I was very busy with all of my school and just everything that was happening at home. But I felt that God wanted me to sign up, so I did. About a week later, my teacher emails me with all the information on my new school buddy. I learned that her name was Kendra. I emailed her and told her a little bit about myself and that I was there to help in any way I can. We emailed back and forth for a while, talking about our personal lives along with our school lives. Eventually, she told me that she was stressed and worried that she wasn't going to complete all of her schoolwork this year. The reason for this is because she had to catch up with everything else and help her little sister. I helped her with everything and encouraged her a lot. About a week before the finals, I emailed her just to check up on her and see how things were going. She tells me that she has a little bit of school left and that she's almost done. She told me that without me encouraging her the way I did, she wouldn't have been able to finish. So from this experience, I would like to tell all the younger kids that sometimes we can tell others about Jesus without even speaking words, but by our actions.
Thank you. Good. You can find a seat up front, though. Find a seat up front somewhere. I just told them to share a few words, so I'm not sure. They can go all over the place, just wherever they like. And so thank you, honey. Very beautiful. Miss Autumn Hummel. I saw her walk in. Graduating from homeschool high school. And come on down. Ooh, confidence. I love it. No notes. Just, wait a minute. Now, we only had... No.
So, pretty much like the last 13 years of school and the speech, it's all improv. I'm just faking it till I make it. That's all that this is. Basically, I've overcome a lot of things that I didn't realize that I could overcome through school. Patience, perseverance, the fact that I made it here after 13 years of wanting to give up, starting in 5K. I just wanted to give up. The shapes just were just a mess. But I have grown and I have come closer to love God with all the trials that I've had to overcome and being at home, being homeschooled, having my mom as my teacher, which having her being my mom already was a trial in itself. So, you know, just the basic troubles of homeschooling I had to overcome. And with that, she allowed me, she helped me to grow closer to God. So my testimony to anybody who's going through school right now is just, you'll make it there. It might take a couple of years, long, long, painful years, but you'll make it there nonetheless.
What can I say? Good. And Miss Alyssa Keel, come on down, kiddo. Also a high school graduate from LCL. And we'll let, oh, another impromptu. Oh, you guys are good. Good, good, good. You don't have to sit together, but you can do whatever you want. So.
Okay. So I also did, it's going to just be improv. But I wanted to talk about how school has taught me how to love people. I've always, always, always loved going to school and being around people in general. And graduating from high school, it's just made me realize the opportunities that I've had, being able to love all the people that are there. And the advice that I would give is to always take the opportunities that you're given, because they might not always be right in front of you, and they might not always be as easy or as implied as I feel like I've had it. And the people that are around you for a reason, and God just wants you to love them. And that's what I took from, well, one thing that I took from high school, I guess. I guess there was more. But that's one thing that I would like to share.
Thank you. Okay. Sit wherever you want, you know. You don't have to sit next to him. Miss Grace Reimer, also graduate of LCL, and so she'll come forward. Here we go.
Okay, well, as I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of one or two words that kind of summarized school for me, and especially high school. So for me, I would say the word unexpected really captures it all for me. The first 2 years of high school are pretty normal. I mean, it's pretty new, so you're trying to figure out, like, how to get into the groove of things. But for me, it was more my last 2 years that really were unexpected. Junior year, I started off with a great year. Our team won state for volleyball, which I never thought in a million years that would ever happen. So I was on top of the world. I was going into basketball season, super excited for how that would go. And for if you don't know, I actually tore my ACL and during basketball season, our first scrimmages. And I never knew what could have come from that, because for me, that was the end of the world, right? Because I'm an athlete and I just want to play sports, especially junior year, where I feel like a lot of recruitment happens then, and I wanted to run in college. So that was unexpected. Then we go into senior year, and it's great. It's super fun. I'm coming back. I get to play basketball and volleyball again, and I'm really excited for track. And then the pandemic happens, and I'm stuck at home, which is tough. But I was thinking back on it, and if I was in charge of my own path, I would never have chosen this. I would never have thought, oh, yeah, I'd love to tear my ACL. Let's do that today. I never would have wanted to lose those things. And if I was thinking about my senior year, would I want to lose half of it? Absolutely not. But when I'm thinking about it, there's so many things that God provided for me through that, so many lessons he taught me. If I never would have torn my ACL, I never would have met some friends. I never would have realized how my identity isn't defined in sports or what I can do. And I just think that's really important for everyone going through school, that unexpected things happen, but it's how you learn and grow from them. And thank God I'm not in charge of my own path, because God's ways are higher than ours, and we just have to learn to trust in him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. For me, my own understanding was I wanted to run in college, I wanted to do this and that, but I got new opportunities. I get to run with my brother next year at Concordia, and I don't know if I would have even ended up at Concordia if I didn't tear my ACL. So I just am really thankful for the trials and for the unexpectedness of high school, and I'm really excited for the unexpectedness now of college. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. Come on down here. And Miss Erin Tibbetts got to put a little twist on how long she had to work for this. But praise God, wonderful accomplishment. So here we go.
I currently work at Schurz Elementary as an elementary special education teacher, where I have been for the past 9 years. 2 years ago, I decided to start the journey towards going back to school and getting my master's degree in literacy. Over my years of working in schooling, I have learned many things. First, find your people. Having a group you can commiserate with, celebrate with, problem solve with, makes all the difference. There are strength in numbers. Be patient and take time to listen. Everyone around you is coming from different backgrounds and dealing with different experiences. They teach us in school that behavior is a way of communication. Find a balance between work, school, home. The work will always be there the next day, and it's important to take time for yourself. You can't help others if you yourself are empty. You can do anything you set your mind to. Make a plan, set goals, and stick to it. Don't be afraid of change. Even though it can be scary, sometimes the change is for the better. You can't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Change could be the answer to your prayers. Push yourself to grow. I never saw myself as a leader, but have recently started mentoring student teachers, and I've learned I have a lot to share. And finally, there are many things that school does not prepare you for. For me, the most recent one was how to teach online during a pandemic. So always be open to learning new things. You never know when you might need it.
All right, wait. Oh, no, you gotta stay standing. Stand right here. Now I wanna bring the kids down. Come on down. Yeah, sit in these chairs, squeeze together. Come on, you can do it. Look at the people up here we have for you. Grandma, you can sit down here with them too. Come sit. Sit right in a chair and put her on your lap. It's great. You gotta squeeze together a little bit. All right. Yeah, don't breathe on anybody. Don't touch anyone. Oh, Daddy. Don't pick on the old man. You got to sit still. Okay, good. All right. We're going to hear a story in the sermon today. It's called The Woman at the Well. This is not the woman at the well. One of those guys might be, though. And there's a lesson I want you to learn, and it's really important. So one of the things, these people have all graduated with different degrees. That means they went to school long enough to finish grade school and junior high and high school and college and post-college schooling. So they've become more and more and more knowledgeable. So here's what I want you to pretend with me. I want you to pretend that she is going to continue to be a successful teacher and live happily ever after and all her dreams come true and she continues to love Jesus. Ready? Got that one? Okay, that's one. You have to move just down a little. I need someone else. Come and volunteer. Come on up. All right. She turns into a bag lady. She doesn't like work. She dropped out of college. She dumped her boyfriend. And she is living on the streets of San Francisco, eating out of the garbage cans. Move over. Sorry about that. Guess what happens to her? She becomes addicted to drugs. Can you believe it? Now, wait a minute. Before you get too upset with me, I graduated over 7,000 kids when I was teaching. Every one of these examples are examples of my kids. She became a drug addict, and she became immoral, and she became a thief to pay for her drug habit. Stay 6 feet away from the bag lady. You ready? She worked for the government. Nasty. She did it all wrong. She blamed the wrong people. She brought the wrong people to trial. And even though she had a lawyer's degree, she used it to do all bad stuff. But everybody thought she was good because she was voted into office. So I'd like you to meet my politician. Ta-da! Do-do-do-do! Can I pick on you, Maya? I didn't know who was going to be like, this is my woman at the well. Yeah. You know, every one of us, raise your hand if you want to be the woman at the well up here today. Yeah, yeah. Here's the part I want to ask. How many people have you slept with? Let's get honest for a moment. How many people did you mess with? How many words? You're right. So anyway, the woman at the well had five husbands. So actually, no. You don't get to do your children's number up here. Mama. Actually, people do, and I've known the ones who have done it. You know what five husbands means? She was not married to anybody, and she was being very, very immoral. That's what the woman at the well was doing. Now, here's something important I want you to notice. Did you notice some people were successful and they lived happily ever after and did things? And some people, well, they became bag ladies. Yeah, bag ladies, just eating out of the garbage cans. And some people got into drugs. She hardly remembers her name. She can't even remember graduating service. And some people corrupt politician. And some people were like the woman at the well. Here's the story. It's not about what they did wrong. It's not about how bad they are. Because the truth is, I want every one of them to do well and be successful. I want them to live happily ever after with the Lord Jesus in their life. But you know what the truth is? I don't know where you're going to grow up and how you're going to be. I have no idea how each one of these people are going to be. But this I know, standing here with them. Jesus met the woman at the well, and he would meet each one of these people. And you know what Jesus would do? He would look at them and say, tell me the truth. What are you really like? I'm a corrupt politician. She forgot. It must be the drugs. I should never let the big ones come up with me. They're trying to get back at me for all the years, right? And tell me about your life. Where do you get your meals? Did you think it was going to turn out that way a long time ago when you sat up in front of church and we all clapped for your talk? Here's the truth. How many of these people does Jesus love? He saved this one, and this one, this one, this one, and this one. He would love and save every single one of them. And you know what's neat? He doesn't punch them because they're bad politicians or because they're women at the well. He puts his arms around them, and he loves them. So the story today is to remind you two things. We want all good stuff for all of them. But only Jesus knows whether or not they're going to end up being a drug addict. A drug addict. Or a happy teacher, or whatever. You understand? Here's the point. And I want you to remember it. In the woman at the well, she looked at Jesus and she said, you know everything about me. And Jesus said, yeah, I do. And you're going to love me anyway. Yes, I am. So here's what I want these kids to hear. Not kids, but little ones compared to me. Kids to me. Here's what I want them to hear. God will love you whether you succeed or don't succeed, whether you become righteous or unrighteous, whether you do things good or bad, God loves you and wants to save you. And when he met the woman at the well and she said out loud, "Yeah, I got five. Yes, you tell me the truth." At that moment, Jesus said, "I want to give you a new life, living water." Okay? Now, can you say thank you to these guys? Can you say thank you? And you guys all get to come pick a piece of candy as you leave. Wait. Girls first. Big people first. Big people first. Grab whatever you want. There you go. Wait. Big people first. Let the big people go. It might be their last candy treat. Who knows? Go ahead. Now the girls first. Girls first. Ladies first. Hurry up. 5, 4, 3, 2. The rocket's going to blast off. Where's Brian when I need him? Hurry. Oh, you dropped one. Pick it up. Pick it up for me. Dropped one on the ground. Pick it up. Pick it up. Or not pick it up. Hurry up. That's it. No, you can have the paper too, I guess. All right, you got to go back. Hurry up. Grab one. Run. Go. Well, at least the big kids know what they like. This is an unbelievably awesome conversion. It's awesome because there are so many reasons this woman should not have been saved. If you allow my logic to enter into it, and we got all these, you know, people I picked on and everything else, you go, there are no perfect graduates. And the disciples after Pentecost weren't perfect. But this experience of the woman at the well, it says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, he didn't have to. A lot of times they'd walk around it a few extra miles, but they wouldn't have to deal with Samaritans. Samaritans are what we would call by their standard subhuman, rednecks, whatever. I don't care which word you throw in there. And into this situation and condition, Jesus walks, and he begins to speak to this woman at the well. And I want you to understand several things. Number one, she was the wrong race. She was a Samaritan. We're Jews. She was the wrong gender. She was a woman. And only men, foolish men, waste their time talking to women. Cultural reality of what it was like back then. Samaritan, a woman, religious difference, and historical problems. No reason why he should even talk to her, look at her, acknowledge her value or worth, but he does. And you have to keep this as the backdrop because he's going to look at the disciples. He's going to go, "You guys, the fields are white and ready to be harvested, and you're missing it." Okay? Here's what he's doing. He's going, "Watch what I'm doing." "Yeah, you're talking to a woman. What is wrong with you? Don't you know she's kind of a slutty woman? This is a woman that has been sleeping with 5 different guys already. And she's committing an adulterous thing with a man who's not her husband again. And she's coming down at the noontime of the day." This is the 6th hour. It's noontime. It's hot. It's the hottest time of the day for them. And only the worst slutty women came out at noon. Because none of the good women would talk with them or permit them to come out in the cool of the morning and sit with them and drink coffee, tea, water, whatever they had. Do you understand the situation? You've got to grapple with that because you don't catch what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. He goes on from this point, and he goes there, and he says, you know, the woman looks at him and says, this very important thing takes place in this dialogue. It says this, "Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. No understanding of living water. I keep coming back. It's kind of like, how is it you can have knowledge about the things of God, but not know the living water? It's because we learn in little bits and patterns, okay? You begin to learn that what you thought in kindergarten changes by the time you get out of eighth grade, which changes again by the time you're a senior, which if you heard Faith's testimony, she was pointing out, she says, I thought my life was over. That's an honest answer from her. She's talking about the emotional difficulty of loving sports like she does, having the talent that she had, and blowing out her knee or ACL, and then having, what's, I don't know, how many months? Six? 9 months of braces and walking and therapy and whatever else she had to go through. You have to understand, her testimony today was the seriousness of the moment, but not the same kind of grieving and hopelessness she felt in the middle of it. And so you have to understand, here Jesus meets this woman, meets her right where she's at. There is no logical reason why he should talk to her. And she looks at him, and she first applies her own logic. How can you give me living water? You don't even have a thing to draw water with. All right? And Jesus goes on from there. He says this. The woman responds, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? The answer, by the way, is yes. She doesn't even know that yet. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave this well and drank there himself with his sons and flocks and herds? Jesus looks at her and he says, You can drink from this water all you want. You'll still be thirsty tomorrow. And so now she knows something's changing in this dynamic conversation. And she goes, from there it implies this. Jesus answered, what drinks will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, that well of living water will spring up in him, giving him eternal life. The woman finally says, give me this water, practical reason, so I won't be thirsty, practical reason, so I won't have to come here and draw water anymore. Right? She doesn't get it yet. Jesus looks at her. And this is the part I want you to understand. God doesn't mess with you. He'll call you out for lying. What did I do to you? What God did to me? My son sent me a text this week by Vodi. Vodi, somebody, he's a pastor, black guy, good preacher. And his whole 4-minute sermon was law. It was good job, though. Good job. And I go, thanks, son. But I loved it. Why? He doesn't mince words with you. You've had 5 husbands. Now, he didn't shout a derogatory name. You and I can throw them in there because that's how we think. That's how we operate. We find someone who's more sinful than us, and we say, how could God possibly save a woman, a man, a child, any individual like that? And the truth is, here's the dilemma for us. We don't have any idea where graduates are going to be. We've graduated kids before. I have no idea if they have any faith in God at all left. We've graduated people before, and they've gone through divorces. They've gone through lying, cheating, stealing. They've been in different situations. And without knowing and without mentioning things, they go in different directions. There is no guarantee that the people who stand here who we love and have nurtured and encouraged and blessed and who have blessed us are going to turn out the way they think they're going to turn out. But in the middle of this, Jesus comes to this woman and he brings what he says, I have living water and I'm going to give you something and you will never thirst again. And he's opening her mind and then he just explodes it with the integrity of your, you've said the truth. You've slept with all kinds of people, haven't you? Yeah. And right now you're an adulterer, aren't you? Yeah. Good. Thank you for telling me the truth. I want you to notice what he doesn't do. I want you to notice, now watch what happens. I have no husband, she replied. You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. The man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, this is the change point. Sir, I can see you are a prophet. Then she resorts back to what she knows about prophets. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that that the place we have to worship is in Jerusalem. She talks religion. Let's get into a religious topic. Let's argue about Lutherans and Catholics and Baptists and assemblies. She gets off on a subject, and she turns it into a discussion that is not going to move them forward. Talking about religion, I want to be so gentle here. It's not always evil, but sometimes it simply becomes a distraction. And watch what Jesus does to her. He says this, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Just wipes out the temple, just wipes out the whole religious arguments of Samaritans and Jews. He just wipes it off. He said, "You believe me now." And he goes there, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We Jews, meaning we, worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And this is the beginning of the living water he is going to give to this woman. It isn't where you worship that makes you righteous. It's what's really going on in your heart. It's when someone touches you and pokes you so hard, you deal honestly with sin in your life and the inconsistencies, and you begin to acknowledge, "Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. Fear is wrong, worry is wrong, bitterness is wrong, arrogance is wrong," and the list goes on and on. And when I get to that point, then I'm finally arriving where the woman of the well had gotten. He just took the entire secrecy of her life and just brought it right out into the open. It'd be like me looking at you and saying, "Stand up, Jeff. We're going to start talking about you." And you go, "Oh!" I want to show you. You're next. You begin to understand. She came to the end of herself. She came to the truth. She dealt honestly with who she was. She is looking at herself and going, and Jesus looks, "I'm not going to talk religion with you right now. I'm telling you, I want you to worship in spirit and in truth. I want this truthfulness to be in your intimacy with God. This is what God has intended to do for you all along." And we begin to watch her now. Watch how this continues to open up. The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." What had he just done? "I know it all. I know everything there is to know about you." The word, remember kids what I told you? He loved them anyway. It didn't matter where they had gotten themselves stuck. He had come to give them a new life and have it really bear fruit and take root. Then Jesus declared, "I who speak am he." Actually, it says, "And he said, I am." The ego eimi in Greek, I've said it to you many times before. Yeah, the I am is the name. I am who I am. The I am in the New Testament, he's saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the God." That's exactly what he said to her. Now, this is a message that the Jews and the people around Jesus and even his own disciples were always going, "Is he or is, can you tell? Why don't you speak?" You know, they would have that. He goes to this woman, loves this woman, receives this woman, accepts this woman. Nothing's going to keep him from meeting this woman in her life and these circumstances, whether they're cultural, whether they're gender-wise or anything else. He's coming to meet this woman. Just then, his disciples returned. They don't get it at all. This whole sermon is not just about the woman. This whole sermon is the fields are ripe. People need to be saved. They're running scared. They're afraid they've lost control of their lives. They're afraid of what's going to happen after they die. They're afraid if they catch this silly disease and they die tomorrow, what is going to happen to me? They're living in the fear of that. And now you add another dimension with riots and craziness on the internet and in the news and in the media with our corrupt politician. She was up there, you know what I'm saying? All right. I should have had a news person up there, shouldn't I? We could have picked on them too. But you get the idea. Jesus is actually rescuing this woman, saving his disciples. Oh, wait, we belong to the Lamb of God. What do you mean? Who'd you save this week? What? Who'd you save this week? Convicted. Been to the restaurant. I think I told you I've been to a restaurant twice now. And I've told you I learned how to finally ask the waitress. And I go, she opened up a door and she just, you got to pray for peace. You got to pray for, she just opened up her heart. And I went, you know, we talked. I didn't cut her off or anything. But then the Lord got done and says, you could have opened up a whole door there and you missed it. And he wasn't mad. He said, don't miss it next time. Don't miss it next time. I open these doors because I want people encouraged, blessed, saved. I want you to meet the woman at the well. I want you to love the woman at the well. And I want you to be me in her life. Yes, Lord. You understand? The message is God saves people and graduates, however they turn out. Some of you managed to graduate. God still got you saved, didn't he? Like I said, you want to hear your story up here? I'll bring five of you up here, and we'll have you talk about what your life was like in grade school and through high school. Which laws did you break? How much did you drink? How much did you use? Good, you got to pay attention. The old man's going to grab you guys. You know that. How much did you use drugs? What kind of immorality did you demonstrate? Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. You can't ask. We're old married Christians. I don't really give a rip. You got to repent for sin. You got to deal with it honestly. And what does it do? These guys approached Jesus is talking to a woman. Why would he talk to a woman? And she's a Samaritan woman. And culturally, they knew not only you don't talk to women, particularly alone, and you don't talk to Samaritan women because you know what they're like. And he's talking to her like she has meaning, value, and worth. And they're disappointed in him. They didn't say anything, but they're disappointed in him. She goes from there, and Jesus then moves forward from that point, and he says, listen to me. Jesus declares, I'm that one, verse 26, 27. His disciples return. He's talking to a woman. What do you want? You know, what are you doing talking to her? That kind of a question. 28, she leaves her water jar. I mean, she takes off. She had something different to do. And I want you to know how quickly a testimony turns into a powerful witness. And you know what turned this woman's heart? The fact he knew everything about me. That's not hard. Some of us know lots of stuff about each other. And he loved me anyway. And he cared about me anyway. He knew what I was like when I was 14 years old and graduating in eighth grade. He knew what I was like at 17 years old, 18 years old, and graduating from high school. He knew what I was like in college. He knew what I'm really like as a teacher. And here's the miracle. He met the woman at the well, knew everything about her, told her everything about her life, and invited her to have a drink of living water. Salvation, life, hope, purpose, meaning was offered to her, and she was given this opportunity. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're telling me everything about me. And that was her message. You know what she did? It'd be like finding the worst woman you know in your life or man you know in your life, and he comes running into the church. He goes, God's real. I mean, God's real. He's changing my life. Look at what I was a bag lady. Man, You go this thing, and he goes, look, God's changed me. I have a new heart. I really do. How are you? Do you have your new heart? Don't talk to me. I'm a Lutheran. Don't talk to me. I'm the father. I know everything. Don't talk to me. I'm the mother. I don't have to. These people go, how can she be so excited? Do you know what's happening? She's laying her life out in front of everyone in the village. He's told me everything about me. You guys may not all realize it, but I've been sleeping around. What? Yeah, I've been sleeping with 5 different guys already. And the guy, I'm in an adulteress. Never mind, but God's changed my heart. I'm different. Something's going on. I'm tasting life water like I've never tasted before because the Holy Spirit is being poured into this woman's life. And the reason it's poured into this woman's life is because she's getting emptied out of the demonic trash that Satan, life, and circumstances have dumped in her life. In other words, that garbage is coming out. You know it all, he says, that's right. You know, even the one I'm in an adultery. Yes, I know. And he lifts it out of her. He pulls it from her. And he brings her to that point of repentance. And from there, he goes on to say this. The disciples, they're not getting it at all. And they go, come on, Jesus, you better eat. You guys, you think food matters? I have food that I eat every day that I don't need the rest of this. Do you understand that? No. Okay. All right. Then the disciples are still caught. Did someone bring him food? Did you bring him a hamburger when I wasn't looking? I mean, that's what they're doing. And it goes on from there. He says, my food. And he goes on and explains. And he says, the sower and the reaper. I've been sowing for 3 years. I want you to go out and reap. Do you think COVID is an accident? Gee, God, you weren't paying attention. You let this stupid virus sneak in. Well, that's right. I just took a nap for a few months and I didn't even notice that you were going to get sick and a virus down there. No. What are you doing with it? Who are we saving? Who are we loving on? Who are we making the difference in? How are we entering into this to understand, God, in this moment, you want me to talk to that woman, that gender, that history, that person, that religion, that how could you possibly want me to talk? Jesus says, you're missing the field. Don't miss the field. Why? Because you and I are the woman at the well. Because you and I are the disciples. We roll in and out of those roles so easily. We go, I don't want my life brought up on stage and shown through pictures and talk about the last, 50 years of my life any more than you do. Okay? And yet at the same time, God whispers and says, in everything, I work for good. You mean God took a woman like this and worked good in the middle of her situation? Yep. We believed because of what you said. Hey, if this woman can talk like that, act like that, express herself like that, there's something new that happened here. Whatever it is, it's real. I'm going to go out and see this guy. We believe he's the Messiah from what you said. And then they go a step further because he stayed with them 2 more days. Not only do we believe because of the testimony you gave, we believe because we've talked to him, we've seen him, we've experienced him ourselves. This woman becomes the catalyst for conversion and a revival in this town of Samaritans. You have to understand, you have no idea where the revival that your family needs, your church needs, your city needs, your country needs, where it's going to come from. But the truth is, it can come from any one of these situations. And so as we start to understand this, whether I play the role of the Samaritan woman, whether I'm in the role of the stupidity and the blindness of the disciples, or God, please help me be in the role once in a while of Jesus loving beyond words, beyond anything that I can comprehend. And that's the call that he has on our life. Lord Jesus, if you can save me, you can save anyone. Lord Jesus, if you can turn my life around, you can turn anyone's life around. And when you understand that, God says, and I will use it for your good. I will use it to bless the world through you. And so the disciples finally grapple with that understanding and they begin to recognize this. We now believe because we've met him ourselves. God loves us that way. That's what the gospel is all about. Those are all those demonic, worldly things, prejudicial ideas we all have. All right? They're all there. Some version of them in every one of us. And in the middle of it, God just rips them all apart. He says, you talk to that woman and you tell her I love her. And you tell her the gospel. And you tell her if it can change you, it can change her. Because you want to know the truth? God has forgiven you for what you did in high school. I don't need to rename them, but I do want you to be reminded. God has put them on the cross and nailed them there for the behaviors you demonstrated in college. For your two-facedness, I love God, I hate him. I love God, and I go sleep around. I love God, and I do all the things that are wrong. And end up using... good. Get a catcher. Get a catcher. She'll kick me later. It's all right. Her knee is fully recovered, and she will kick me. And I will deserve it. But the idea, here it is. Let's go. Pray with me. Lord, I am the woman at the well. My sin is beyond comprehension. There is nothing hidden from your eyes. I am the disciples, too foolish to even understand how you have stepped into my life and met me where I am and loved me in spite of every reason, logical and illogical, you should never have wasted your time on someone like me. I am, Lord, desiring to become more like you, to love you, to love people, to forgive, to be merciful, to uproot judgmentalism and everything else that creeps into my life until I can reflect your heart for the woman at the well. Lord, use us to accomplish your purposes wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We pray it in your name, Lord. Amen. As we...